This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, another Eagle leaves town. They're retiring or just leaving in droves. DeAndre Swift's going to the Bears. Fletcher Cox says, I've had enough of this place. He's out. It's your team, Todd.
That's Matt's team. My team is the Seahawks.
The Seahawks?
Yes.
Really? Someday you'll have to explain to me how that happened.
It's fairly simple. My uncle used to own like a percentage of them way back in the 70s, and I got autographed pictures of Steve Largent, Kurt Warner, and Jim Zorn when I was about 8.
Ooh, that would do it. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And I remember Fred Edelstein.
Sure, I remember thing. Fred Edelstein. Sure.
In an envelope.
Sure, I remember that. Absolutely, I remember Fred Edelstein. God, I remember when Kurt Warner hurt his knee. Great rookie year. Like, wow. And then it was on Labor Day. They played a Labor Day afternoon game that was not nationally televised against, I think it was the Browns. He hurt his knee in the Kingdom. It's like, oh, really? Got to be kidding me. Okay. All right. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They take care of everything for you. Customer service means everything to the wonderful people at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And, of course, we are, as always, in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors 4th Street and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so a couple of items here for you. We'll start with Penn State wrestling, where what'd they get? 1.5 billion team points or something like that, wasn't it? It was a big number. It was 170, I think, and a half. They get champions, Braden Davis, the freshman, at 125. That was terrific. Levi Haynes at 157. Mitchell Messenbrink. I asked Cale about Messenbrink, and I said he wrestles with such energy. I said, is there any point where you're watching him, whether in the wrestling room or in a meet, and you'll say, hey, you got to channel it better? And he looks at me, he says, Steve, no. He says, now, there are other people in the wrestling room that try to copy him. I said, those are the ones you're telling to channel? He says, yeah. He says, but not him. And then, of course, Aaron Brooks and Greg Kirkfleet. Carter Storace did not go. He did the obligatory step on mat and leave twice. And Bo Bartlett lost 4-1 in his final. So they go to Kansas City now with a great chance to win another national championship. It really is remarkable. It's one thing to have a great run. Remember when North Carolina women's soccer won 4 straight national titles? I'm like, wow, look at that. Okay, Penn State women's volleyball, Russ Rose, 7 national titles, won 4 in a row. Wow. Incredible. But Penn State wrestling just keeps on winning and keeps on winning and keeps on winning. It is as remarkable as anything we've seen since UCLA basketball. Right? John Wooden won 10 out of 12. Nobody else has had that kind of run. I mean, to the point where there are even Penn State wrestling fans that are sitting there saying, they can't believe they're seeing this over and over again. That's how remarkable it is. This is the modern version of John Wooden UCLA basketball on a wrestling mat. Wow. The Lady Lion basketball team, I am baffled by this. I don't get it. I decided to take a look at the net ranking today. Because I haven't really looked. I mean, I mentioned they were 25 last week going into the tournament. You know what they are right now? 27 in the net ranking. You're telling me that team's on the outside looking in? They're 27. They claim Mississippi State is in. They're 48. Nebraska beat Iowa in Lincoln. Nebraska took Iowa to overtime yesterday in Minneapolis. The Lady Lions are 27th. You want to know where Nebraska is? 26. Like, I'm confused by this. I don't know about you, but I'm confused by it. I don't quite know what they're looking at. Now, the one thing I did not look at, because I looked at the base net, and I did it on a phone and didn't do it on a laptop. You're like, well, what's the difference? Because on the phone, mine did not include quad 1, 2, 3, 4s. Okay? You had to expand out to do that. And so I didn't look at that part. But I do know, for example, let's just take, let's see what this says here. Okay, I see. All right, that's cool. When I look at it, that when they play, they, for example, one of their 2-2 in neutral court games. All right, one of those two losses in neutral court games is to USC by 1 point. Juju Watkins, the whole thing. They lost by 1 point. But Owosu didn't play in the game. Like, two of their losses are, you know, against primary opponents when she didn't play. She didn't start playing until January. So I'm confused about why, when I look at ESPN bracketology, they're the second team out. How can you be 27 to be the second team out playing in the Big Ten? I'm confused by that. Did I miss something?
When I was looking at it this weekend, I couldn't. Nobody's explaining why they're the second team out with such a high. I'm with you. I don't understand it either.
Well, I mean, why bother doing the net thing and being ranked 27th? Why bother doing it if it doesn't matter? That's my point. Why bother doing it if it doesn't matter? So here's the updated bracketology. The last team in is Mississippi State, which is 21 spots behind Penn State in the net. Green Bay is supposedly the first team out. So, right now, Penn State is the second team out. Really? Really? I mean, that's what has me baffled. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. They've got the Big Ten with seven teams in. Well, Penn State's not one of them. And they were the seventh seed going in.
Who finished below them that they have getting in?
I don't know. It's a good question because Maryland's tied with them. So I'm wondering if it's Maryland. I mean, here, one of the Lady Lion problems is quite simple. They're 0-6 against teams in the AP poll. That doesn't help. But Maryland's 1-8. Okay. But Michigan State sitting there, they're 0-4 against teams in the AP poll. They're safely in. And Penn State, when they played Maryland, clobbered them here. I mean, I'm talking clobbered them. I mean, didn't beat them. Like, holy mackerel. So that'll be a different topic, different day. I know we got John Griffin coming up today. Nate Bauer, final half hour today. And let's take a look at the Joe Lenardi here. Let's go into the week and see what Joe says.
Man, that Bucknell game, I really thought they had a chance yesterday, Steve.
I do too. I'm watching it. It's like, wow. Okay. So Lenardi has the last team in by the top overall seed, Purdue. But to be honest with you, the top overall seed thing in this particular year doesn't mean a lot, and here's the reason why. Here's the reason why, Todd. Houston is going to go to Dallas no matter what, right? UConn's going to go to Boston no matter what, and Purdue's going to go to Detroit no matter what. So it doesn't really matter which one's won. They're still all going to end up in the same bracket no matter what they do, right? They're all going to go in the same area. The only one that's different is going to be the West and who ends up as the fourth number one seed. All right, so he has Purdue number one overall seed. Okay, last team in, St. John's, team that can't move laterally. And Villanova, first team out. Okay? Joe says, Lenardi, win and in. TCU versus Oklahoma, both. So it's like a play-in game. Mississippi State versus LSU. So Mississippi State's the team to watch. And Virginia against either Clemson or Boston College or Miami in the ACC. Out without this win. Wake Forest must beat Notre Dame or Georgia Tech. New Mexico against Air Force. Villanova, DePaul. In other words, these teams lose the game, they're not getting in. Utah, Arizona State. St. John's, Seton Hall. Pitt, Wake Forest, or Georgia Tech. Memphis, Rice, or Wichita State. Texas A&M, Ole Miss. Iowa against Ohio State. Colorado gets either Utah or Arizona State. South Florida against either East Carolina or Tulsa. Win and then need to win again, according to Joe. Virginia Tech needs to beat Florida State, then win again. Providence needs to beat Georgetown, then win again. Syracuse needs to beat either NC State or Louisville, then win again. Kansas State needs to beat Texas, then win again. Ohio State needs to beat Iowa, he says, and then win again. Oregon needs to beat either UCLA or Oregon State, then win again. And UNLV needs to beat San Diego State, tough task there, and then win again. Yikes. Last four in, Indiana State. Loved how they came back from 18 down yesterday. Then let's give Drake all the credit in the world. Let's give Drake all the credit in the world. Do you know how hard it is to lose an 18-point lead, lose the lead, and then regather and win the game? I give Drake a lot of credit. That's a hard thing to do. It's hard. It's a hard thing for Indiana State to do, to come back to take the lead. But when you've lost the lead, lost the momentum, and you're searching for something and you find it, it's pretty impressive. First four out, Villanova, New Mexico, Texas A&M, Iowa. Okay. That's how Joe Lenardi sees it, and normally he is pretty close.
I feel like Ohio State has a chance to pull that off.
They're playing great, and this is so strange. They move on from Chris Holtman. And then Jake Diebler takes over, and I don't even know if he even has a chance at the job. It's up to Ross Bjork. It's not really... I mean, Gene Smith's still the athletic director, but my goodness, Ross Bjork needs to be the guy to hire this. He's going to be the athletic director on June 30th. I mean, should be the person he is in line with. How about that?
Certainly, wow. Making it tough not to pick him.
Right, I know. I mean, they've lost one time since he took over. All right. Eagles did sign Landon Dickerson to a 4-year, $87 million deal, $50 million guaranteed. Look, with Mailata, Juergens, and Johnson, they still have 80% of their offensive line back. DeAndre Swift left, goes to the Bears. Fletcher Cox said, I'm quitting this thing. That's going to be a big problem for Nick Sirianni, by the way. Huge problem. In your locker room, all right? You've had Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retire. Okay? You already have, according to some reports, not the smoothest operation in that locker room with those guys. What are you now without those guys? Interesting.
I saw that they might be the front runners for Saquon, too.
Well, they better be. They don't have a running back now. No, I know. They all love Boston Scott. Yeah, it's like Boston Scott anywhere else is just another guy who, by the way, is good enough to play in the NFL. But in terms of comparison to other people in the league, he's just another guy. Oh, no, he's not. Just slow down. He's just another guy. Okay. He'd be in the same role with every other team in the league. Yeah. Same thing with Gamewell. He's just another guy, too. And then for Matt, boy, this is going to be tough. I mean, Garrett Cole gets MRI for elbow discomfort.
They lose him, they might have to outscore people all year again.
Well, I mean, it's the same. I mean, let's face it. It's like when the suit makes a speech, it's called room discomfort. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. All right, it's great to have you with us. Penn State gets Michigan Wednesday night at 9. The plane leaves tomorrow morning at 9. I saw that this morning. I went, okay, that's early. But you have to go when the plane's available. That's always been the running joke we've had. They're not a plane circling and like, okay, we're ready. Send one down. Oh, golly.
Is it a short enough flight you'll get there at 9 a.m. too?
Huh?
I said, is it a short enough flight you leave at 9 a.m. here and get there at 9 a.m.?
No, this is not the Marvin Barnes flight. Marvin Barnes is playing for the Spirits of St. Louis, whose broadcaster, by the way, was one Bob Costas. They were playing a game, I think, in Louisville against the Kentucky Colonels and had to go back to St. Louis or one of the, something like that. And the plane took off at 11 o'clock Eastern time, and it landed at 10:50 Central time, and he wouldn't get on the plane. And they said, what do you mean you won't get on the plane? What's wrong with you? He says, hey, I don't get on any time machine. I'm like, oh. Scary.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Joined by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, John Griffin. John, welcome to the show. Appreciate the time, as always.
Steve, thanks for having me on. I was just thinking, I feel like, growing up in Philadelphia, I feel like this is my own version of WIP after an Eagles game on a Sunday, or if you're a Steelers fan, whatever you are in the state of Pennsylvania, I'm an Eagles fan. WIP, Nick Sirianni, it was Andy Reid, Chip Kelly. They'd get on the phone and they'd talk about the game and the season. And it's, you know, you've made me feel very professional, Steve. So thank you.
Well, that's because you deserve to feel that way. You've earned it. Let's talk about the game with Colgate. The American game, marvelous performance. And then you carried it over for such a long period of time at a tough place to play. What did your team show you last week?
I mean, they showed what type of people they are. So basketball is an interesting game, sports. In general, they really kind of bring out the best in you because it's such a competitive atmosphere. And you know, I've been talking about it kind of throughout the entire year, how resilient and open-minded this particular group that I'm coaching has been. And for the last, leading up to Colgate, but even leading into the first round or quarterfinals at American, for the three games, we've played hard defense, we've been competitive. We've been physical, and most importantly, we've been connected. So you saw that carry into American, where we were poised possession by possession. Yeah. And that belief carried right up to Hamilton. And unfortunately, but we knew it was going to be a close game regardless of the score in the first half. We knew it was going to be a possession by possession game. And there was two shots that just didn't go in that, you know, would have been nice. But we were right there. I'm really proud of our group. And it's something that we'll be able to rely on going forward.
This particular group, you talked about their learning process. When did you get a sense that this was a, quote, coachable group that understand the proper corrections and not just criticism, and also understood what was going right?
You know what? It's been a learning process for me. Our season, you know, it's kind of broken down into different phases, and each phase has been something new for the group, it's been something new for me, it's been something new for our staff, and then we either correct it or build upon it. And they've always been, from day one, open-minded and coachable, and then trying to carry over what's being taught is probably the biggest challenge in the game as it relates to you know, the coaching aspect of it. You're trying to get your group to carry over what you teach them in practice to a game. And it often doesn't happen to perfection, and you still have to make some instinctive decisions within the gray area of the game. And while doing that, you have to be competitive, and you have to really hold on to your pillars. And for us, they were defensive rebounding and transition defense, both in which were challenged repeatedly in the second half against Colgate. And I thought we did a pretty decent job throughout that last 20 minutes of holding our ground. But from day one, they've been locked in. And when you lose a game like that, Steve, the way we just lost it, it accelerates this culture. It accelerates your idea of culture. Because now as a coach and as a staff, we don't have to preach what it could have been. They feel it in their soul, in their heart, of what they just experienced, and they don't want to experience that again. And so in order not to experience it again, you're going to have to work every day to put yourself in position again and then overcome that obstacle.
What was it like for you to go into that locker room and have to talk to them after an awesome effort, but not quite achieving what you the goal that you wanted?
Yeah, it's a good question. All I thought about was the 14 young men in the locker room. I've been blessed as a former basketball player to reach some of the pinnacles of this sport, and not for one day since I've been hired has this job been about me. It's all about these young men, and I just wanted to let them know that as a staff, as the head coach, my first go around, how appreciative I am for their effort, and to let them know that they have now set the groundwork for the future. That's their legacy. We have three seniors, and it has not been an easy 4 years for them, COVID being one, and Jack Forrest transferred in and out, and they just played an incredibly meaningful game that was watched by so many Bucknell fans, supporters, alums, administrators, and they elevated the energy levels of a university, and I just am very proud to be a part of that group, and I was just wanted to let them know that they have something to be very, very happy about as it relates to what they've done and accomplished in a very short time.
Now, you went toe-to-toe in the center of the ring against the team that's been the last few years setting a standard, and I think you showed them that, by the way, there's somebody else here in town that's going to challenge them. I think in the end, that's what I think what I took out of watching that game yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I took out of it. Like, you know, you want to win, but I'm thinking to myself, they're in the center of the ring, and Colgate's looking around going, okay, these guys are really good. I mean, and that's what I took out of it.
Yeah, that was part of the message, too. Throughout the course of the year, again, being that I'm from Philly, I've shown the team a lot of Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, sound bites. And he was a masterful competitor. And sometimes the sound bites resonate with young people more than a coach preaching what they think is competitiveness. And one of the sound bites that we showed going into Colgate was, we're not ducking anybody in the Patriot League. And that's been the message from the moment I've been hired. But it's one thing coming from the coach's mouth and almost like a teacher preaching mathematics, and then finally the students understand how to get to that end result. And in that moment, in that locker room yesterday, on their faces you could see sadness, which is warranted because of the effort that these young people put in these days. I mean, it's all day, every day. And then also a level of energy related to, okay, this is the expectation going forward, but now we're here. And what I'm most proud of is, you know, I didn't know when that time would come.
Sure.
Where they felt it, where the players felt it, and then yesterday was the moment. So unfortunately, it comes with a loss. I would rather have experienced it with a win.
No question. Now, John, we hit the off season. Interesting spot. It gets to the point where at the coaches' convention now, people will go for maybe a day and then they'll come back because they feel they need to be around their teams because, you know, you have talent. And not only do you have talent, but you have talent that you've developed and cultivated. Do you feel like beginning like now or even during the season that you're constantly re-recruiting that talent?
Re-recruiting is an interesting word. I think that if you are a relationship-driven human being, you know, you could argue that that is your own version of re-recruiting, where you spend time with people off the floor.
That's right.
And help them develop as young men. That's a major part of the quote-unquote re-recruiting. For us, no. I mean, we've been going at this since July because we went to Italy. So I think everybody needs a little bit of a break. I think the players need a little bit of a break from us. I think they need a little bit of a break from the game. There's a mental health element of this game that is very serious and very real, and I think everyone needs to take a step away and just start to rejuvenate and replenish their minds and spirit, and then we'll get back after it when the time is right. But we have a good group coming back, and We have two young sophomores that played over 30 minutes yesterday, and I know that in their heart and their soul, they want to get back to that point.
What did the fans that made the repeated trips to Soika this year mean to your program?
Oh, man, Steve, that is what's most exciting to me about the way the season ended, is the energy in Soika Pavilion. I'm so grateful to the fans. We have so many loyal season ticket holders that show up game in and game out, win or lose. They're all about our players. I mean, they are just energy givers. And I just, on your show, I'm going to use it here to just say thank you. You know, thank you, Steve, for this every Monday, but thank you to all the loyal season ticket holders, all the fans that come to Soika, to our luncheons, that travel to American. We had a great showing at American.
Yeah.
All of our alums. I'm not Deion Sanders, so I'm not going to say, like, we're coming. But I'm going to say that certainly Bucknell basketball is where it needs to be right now.
And I think that is as accurate a statement as you can make. I mean, you know, that's 1 year in the book. How important is it for you? You just talked about the players just a little bit of time. I know you're in constant evaluation mode, but, John, is there a decompression for you at this point while still being in that mode that just allows you to sit back and really reflect about what you want to do and anything subtly you want to change moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of just entering that phase right now, day after. Right now, my mind is repeating the last 2 minutes of yesterday.
Yeah, sure it is.
It's like on a cycle. Every kind of decision, every word that came out of my mouth is on repeat. But then once that kind of fades, yeah, there's a lot that I've learned throughout the course of the year. I have a great staff. I'm blessed with high-energy, relationship-driven, innovative people. All four of my staff members at some point in time will be head coaches because of their approach to the game. And so we'll get back to the drawing board. I've learned a lot about what's effective, what's ineffective, what's efficient, what's inefficient. And then ultimately, my strength in this is helping players improve their skills. And that's going to be such a large focus of our offseason, and just helping guys on our team improve their strengths, improve their weaknesses, maybe bring some new skill set to the table, and get them ready to go and make it fun for them.
Next part, too, is they also see the kind of person you are. Family means a lot. During this first season as a head coach, what has that family meant to you? And what does it mean to the program that they're around all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you listen to coaches when they're receiving awards, you're going to hear it repeatedly. They often thank their wives first.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have you have to have somebody that essentially has your back at all moments, doesn't talk about the game every day, loves you unconditionally. I have that. My wife is she's the head coach of our house. I'm an assistant at home. That's a fact.
you are screaming to the choir.
I'll tell you, my wife scored more points in college and in high school than me, so she was a much better player. We have three amazing boys. They're wild, and she somehow survives their energy, and I'm just truly blessed. Truly blessed to be in the position I'm in, and I have my brother on staff with his wife.
Yeah.
And then we have another assistant, Brandon McDonald. His wife and his children are just like so loving and outgoing, and ultimately building a program. And Steve, it's great you brought this point up. Everyone talks about family. It's a little cliche in the world of sports, because sometimes you don't get to know someone that well. So in order to call them family, you have to kind of get to know them. But also, we're teaching young men here how to be fathers, you know, how to be uncles, how to be adults in the world. And part of that at some point in some of these young people's lives is having children, getting married, and you have a responsibility. And when you're when you bring your family around, and I was a coach's son, you bring your family around, you bring your wife around, and they see the interaction, it's just very healthy, but also exposes them to, you know, what life could be like.
I hope you don't mind from time to time during the off season we call upon you once or twice to talk about how things are going, because I thoroughly enjoy the conversations.
We got Mark Madness coming up, so if you need me for any like thoughts, I mean, all I know is I've been a part of a game where we've won. That's all I can tell you.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you know what? I'm going to take you up on that offer. Why not? Enjoy the conversation. I know it takes time out of your day, but I enjoy the conversation of my day. So I appreciate you. John, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
John Griffin, head basketball coach Bucknell. Boy, did they put on a show yesterday. And boy, did they play their best basketball. The really good teams, you know, you can tell how a team is going, right? They're the ones that play their best at the end. Those are the ones that improve from day one to whatever day it happens to be. Are they playing their best down the stretch? John Griffin's Bucknell basketball team met that standard. They played their best basketball down the stretch. It tells you a lot about the players, but it tells you about the development and the job that the staff did. Impressive. Best is yet to come. We will come back. More in a moment. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. People ask us, how do we get through the staff meetings? And I always mention Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by my two favorites, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
We should tell people it's not for the alcoholic beverages, it's for the pickles and the water, right?
Let's think about that for a moment.
All right, it's for the alcoholic beverages.
All right, yeah. No, I didn't say we went out and drove right away. No. We actually sat there for hours and like, okay, because that's how long the meeting took. All right. All right. The got a lot going on. This is a great week. It's a busy week. Now I'm going to do the show. I'm going to land in Minneapolis. I'm going to do the show tomorrow. I know. Then I'll do the show Wednesday there. All right. And then we got, because the games are all, they're scheduled to play at 9 o'clock on Wednesday night, so we're on at 8:30. Should they win, they will play again at 9 o'clock on Thursday, 8:30 the airtime. Should they win that game, they will play again at 9 o'clock on Friday. So, you know, they're in that bracket. Okay. Yeah. And that's not all Eastern time. So we'll do the show for however long it needs to be done from Minneapolis. So there you go. And that'll be the story tomorrow. Yes, we'll land. I'll set up the equipment, and away we go. Russell Wilson is going to be a Steeler. He is going to sign a one-year deal with the Steelers, I think for like $1.2 million, something like that. Now, remember, the Broncos owe him like 37.5 or some number in that neighborhood. So, I mean, the guy is not taking a vow of poverty to play for the Steelers. He's got enough money.
Pretty sure he's not going to have to eat Permane Brothers.
No. Not going to happen. We're all good. And the... and... so we will do the show there in Minneapolis. And it is, it's always interesting. We talk about, as somebody who's done 42 regular seasons now in my career, and I know at Penn State, of those first 41, five have ended in NCAA tournaments. Nobody knows the relevance of a regular season unless you're broadcasting Penn State basketball, because there's so many things that, you know, don't go right, you don't get there. They do go right, you do get there. But college basketball is an interesting sport because of the conference tournaments. And suddenly you're a team, especially at the mid-major level, where suddenly out of nowhere you look around and go, oh, huh. So you finished in fourth and you won the tournament. I want to say what High Point was the Big South champion, and Longwood beat him. Longwood's in, High Point, gone. I mean, last year, Fairleigh Dickinson got in and didn't even And Merrimack won, and Fairleigh Dickinson didn't even win the regular season of the tournament. And just got in on a... because Merrimack had been Division II and moved up. Great. And then they beat Purdue. This year, Fairleigh Dickinson got knocked out in the opening round.